Good morning.
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 Morning. Good morning.
You're in for a great treat right now.
Wake up, Singapore.
The golden mic is on.
We the people are ready for this.
In the Flying Dutchman on 91.3 1FM.
Good morning, Singapore, and a big hello to everyone who was at Great Wall City on Saturday afternoon. Thank you so much for coming down. My partner is now bald.
Yes, I am. And I have discovered, thank you very much, and I have discovered something. When you're bald and you sleep in air conditioning, it's cold.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you feel it. Even when you're sitting in the living room and there's a fan on, you can feel it. Feel it. You really feel it on your head.
See, this just goes to show that when people get older, they feel everything. The reason why I'm saying this is because I went bald, but when I went bald, I was 26 years old.
So
and I never felt,
you never felt it. Boy,
what you're feeling right now.
I can feel temperature changes at the drop of a hat.
What about Andre? Andre?
Yes.
Do you feel these things as well?
That's why I always have a cap on. Especially in the studio, because it gets really cold and I get a bad headache.
And all this time, I thought the only reason why you have a cap on is because you didn't want people to know that you're bald here at SPH.
This morning when I went down to get my grab when I was coming to work, right? The minute I hit downstairs and there was a breeze, bam, the hat went on. It was cold.
Okay. When you see me outside, I don't wear a cap.
Really?
If I'm not in the
true,
studio,
yeah.
I don't wear a cap.
Yeah.
Only if I'm in air conditioning, then it's cold.
But you should be wearing a cap during the day while you're outdoors as well, because I mean the sun cannot be good for huge patch of skin on your head.
This is the first thing my wife did after I shaved my head. Okay, sunscreen. Go and buy sunscreen.
Yes, you definitely need that. Yeah. Just like the Sphinx cats, you know. I mean, they have to be.
So you're comparing us to cats now?
No, not really.
Right.
But what I'm saying is because there's no fur. It's just skin, you know.
Don't have fur. It's called hair.
Right.
Just to let you know.
Don't forget to moisturize as well. I think that's also important.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what all Sphinx cat owners have to do
as well. There we go. Again
moisturize
with the
cats.
Again. Meow.
All right. Right now, here's John Cicada. Just another day on 1FM 91.3.
91.3 1FM. Real music. Real hits.
Learn from the mistakes of others as well as your own.
It's true. Two children are enough. You don't need a football team.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. 91.3. 1FM.
1FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. The Bald Eagle, everybody.
Thank you very much. Yes, I am. Hang on. I'm almost extinct. Wow. Okay. World Cup's just around the corner, and we're all going to look at the flying yellow and red cards that happened during the competition. Hopefully not too many reds, because I think that's going to spoil the tournament. But that is for FIFA-recognized teams.
Okay.
Correct? There is a grouping called CONIFA.
CONIFA?
CONIFA. CONIFA has its own World Football Club Cup, and this is for teams not recognized by FIFA.
Wait, you're saying CONIFA is a governing body as well?
It's a governing body.
So you've got FIFA and now there's CONIFA?
CONIFA. CONIFA is for teams not recognized by FIFA. For example, there's a team from Padania, which is in northern Italy. There's a team from Tuvalu, which is in Oceania. But they're not recognized by FIFA.
Okay.
They play amazing games in non-league venues around London every time the World Cup happens.
And these are not countries, these are cities.
These are cities that supply teams. And they're very high-scoring matches, you know, 10-0, 11-0.
What?
Yeah, because that's just the quality of football that they produce. And they have now introduced the green card. Here's how the green card works. You have a yellow card, which is a warning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a booking. A red card, you get sent off.
Yeah.
The green card fits in between the two. And it is used for dissent and diving.
Right.
These two.
So it's a warning.
Not quite. Because if you have a yellow card and you are shown a green card, you have to leave the field of play immediately.
Okay.
But you can be replaced by a reserve.
Right. Okay.
Providing the team has not used any of its reserves.
Yes.
Providing there are reserves left, you can be replaced by a reserve.
Okay.
Whereas with a red card, you can't.
Mm.
Right? If the team has used all its reserves and a player gets a green card, then he leaves the field of play and the team is down to 10 men.
Right.
But it's an interesting card. Used to control descent and diving.
Yeah, because usually if you get a second yellow card, it's a red.
It's a red.
So now it's like, okay, one yellow card, the next one is a green.
And you're gone.
You're gone. A substitute can still come in, but right. You being the violent player on the field, you're out.
You're out. Well, you're,
can that person come back in?
No. He's gone. He's gone for the game. But remember, it's only used for descent and for diving.
Okay.
Tackles and stuff like that, it's still yellow and red.
Okay.
So it's quite an interesting card. And I'll bet you FIFA have got their eye on this to see how it works.
I don't want it to be introduced.
I think it's too confusing.
Yeah.
Three cards are too confusing. But it was used for the first time over the weekend twice in the CONIFA World Football Cup in London. Twice. So it's quite interesting. I'll try and get the full story and put it up on our Facebook page so you understand how this green card works.
It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman, 91.3 1FM.
1FM, 91.3, it's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. And I figured this out because Sean Tupas is about to tell us about a real-life superhero. He's going to be talking about me. Right?
I thought he was going to be talking about me because now I'm bald.
He never talks about you like that.
That's true.
He always talks about me.
That's true.
So what did I do now, Sean?
Everything right, Supreme Leader.
But that's not who you're talking about, surely.
Unfortunately, no. I would love to talk about the Supreme Leader the whole show, but I couldn't.
My, okay.
And by the way, Evie, you don't look like a superhero, you look like a supervillain.
Oh, well, super something at least.
Okay, at Professor least super... X, at least. Professor X.
I mean, like, much older Professor X. La.
But we'll need wheels on his chair right now. Big
he has wheels.
Big wheels.
I have wheels.
Let's do a boomerang later.
Okay.
Yes.
Of FD as Professor X.
Okay.
On his wheelchair. Open and close inverted commas.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so who is this real superhero, Sean?
Okay, so it's finally happened. A Marvel superhero has become a real life hero. As if we couldn't love Benedict Cumberbatch even more.
What?
He is now a real hero. So the story goes, he's in an Uber and they're traveling along London, right, on a street in London. And he sees a Deliveroo rider get beaten up by four guys.
And then?
And without hesitation, the car didn't even come to a stop, a complete stop. He jumps out of the car and goes and help this guy.
Yeah.
Without like getting into a fist fight, he just shoved them away and started shouting, like
leave him alone.
Yeah.
Right? And the guys ran off.
I read a little bit about this. What was quite amazing is Cumberbatch is also known for his Sherlock Holmes role, and this happened right near Baker Street.
No way!
It happened right near Baker Street. So how interesting is this? He is a real life superhero now.
He felt at home now.
Right. Could be
Benedict Cumberbatch. Stop it.
The golden mic is on.
It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman.
91.3 1FM.
1FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman.
So it is the bane of all parents, their children with a permanent marker in their hand. Stay away from the walls, stay away from the furniture, stay away from the clothes.
Are we talking about 2-3-year-olds?
Yeah. But there are ways to solve your problems.
But they shouldn't be holding on to permanent markers in the first place, right?
Come on.
Aren't they toxic?
Yeah, but kids will get there. No, some of them are not. Some of them are non-toxic.
Permanent markers? All permanent markers are toxic. Come on.
I think you can get non-toxic permanent markers. But either way, you've got problems with this. So if your kid gets permanent marker ink on clothes, how do you get it off? Hand sanitizer will get the permanent ink off your clothes.
Really?
Hand sanitizer. If they start drawing on the walls, use toothpaste and it'll come off the walls.
It will not.
It will. If your furniture is wood furniture and you've got permanent markers there, rubbing alcohol will take the marker off. On a carpet, you use white vinegar.
Okay, that I've heard of.
White vinegar,
right?
White vinegar. On a whiteboard, what do you use? We've got that mistake. We've had this here. If you have a permanent marker that's stained a whiteboard, what do you use?
Windex.
No. You use a simple pencil eraser and it will take the permanent marker off. A simple pencil eraser.
Oh, wow.
So there are a few life hacks for you for today.
The alcohol thing on the sofa. Is
on
it,
wood,
is it?
Yeah. As long as it's
on
wood.
On wood.
As long as it's wood. As long as it's
wood. As in
wood.
Beer.
What do you mean, beer?
Beer, alcohol?
No, rubbing alcohol.
You can
actually buy it in swatches at any pharmacy.
I see. Rubbing alcohol. Yes, Andre. Yeah.
Evdy, my mother didn't have to remember so many things.
What?
She used a spatula. And we never use the permanent marker again.
That's because she used a spatula on your bum. That is the other life hack for you to remember. Works for all problems.
Your mom did that today, she'd be in jail.
Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. 91.3.
1FM. 1FM, 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Remember Sylvester Stallone's ex-wife? He was married to her for a little while. She looked really, really scary.
She was tall.
The Red Sonja.
Yes. Bridget, what's her face?
Bridget Nielsen.
That's it.
She's 54 years old now.
Wow.
Still looking very, very scary, I have to say.
Yeah, well.
But you know what the fantastic thing about this lady is?
Huh?
She's pregnant.
What?
She is pregnant at 54.
Wow.
I know. Pregnant and scary looking once again. You know, someone asked me the other day, who is the father? I said, I don't know, but one thing I know for sure, she probably devoured him already. But congratulations all the same to Bridget Nielsen, pregnant at 54.
91.3 1FM. Real music, real hits.
1FM 91.3, it's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. And of course, we're getting closer to the start of the World Cup, the 14th of June.
Which means you have got to start prepping yourself because, you know, the World Cup isn't held in our time zone.
The opening match is not too bad. 11 p.m.
Yeah,
all right. But some of the matches are going to be held at 2 a.m. Singapore time.
Yeah, it's going to be early hours of the morning. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how you guys prep for that. So we've got some ideas.
Every day, all right, at this time, we will hit you with some World Cup prep hacks.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So let's talk about how to stay awake.
All right.
Okay, for me, what I'll usually do is I'll change my sleep pattern a little bit by sleeping for at least 3 hours before the match starts.
So in other words, 11 o'clock game for the opening game, you're going to be in bed by what, 8?
8.
8 o'clock.
So even if it's 9, doesn't matter, but you must sleep before the match.
Right. Now, in order to stay awake, what I do is I do a combination, coffee and brandy.
Coffee and brandy.
You make a cup of coffee, you add a shot of brandy.
Uh-huh.
It works really well because the caffeine in the coffee keeps you awake.
Yeah.
And the brandy makes you happy even if your team loses. So it works quite well. So there are two hacks for you right there.
Hey, here's what's great as well about this World Cup. McDonald's will deliver at 2 a.m. So you can have breakfast at 2 a.m. in the morning, and this starts from the 7th of June onwards.
So start practicing a 2 a.m. breakfast because that charge of food in your system before the game is really going to help you.
Yeah, all-day breakfast. Love that.
Idea.
And you can order McGriddles as well.
Yep.
All right.
And do it all through Mac Delivery because you know how great they are.
Once again, that's from 7th of June onwards, all-day breakfast, courtesy of McDonald's.
91.3 1 FM with Glenn and the Flying Dutchman.
1FM 91.3, it's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman with Andre as well as Sean.
So, Glenn, you agree that Singaporeans, unlike most people who eat to live, we here in Singapore live to eat.
Okay, you
agreeable?
Could say that, yes.
We can, right? We love our food. So when we talk about food we love, it comes to mind really easily. But if I were to ask you the one thing you hate the most, for me, it's simple. It's blue cheese. Don't bring it within 10 feet of me. I will throw it back at you. I'll burn it. I'll bury it. Whatever. Just don't bring
blue cheese. I love blue cheese.
I hate blue cheese.
You mean like the blue Stilton, for example? You can't have that.
Yeah, whether it's on stilts or not, I don't care. I just hate blue cheese.
Ooh, for me, the smellier, the better. Boy.
Oh, how do you...
The smellier, the stronger, the better.
I can take like a durian. That's fine. But that blue cheese and maybe because I don't know whether this is how they make it. But I've seen pictures of people putting these hot needles into the cheese.
Okay.
And then pulling the needles out and then what you watch the cheese literally rot. Because that's what blue cheese is.
Exactly.
It's rotten cheese.
Just take small pieces, you know, just let it melt in your mouth and then after that either have it with tea or red wine.
No, sorry. What about you? Anything you really hate?
Actually, you know what? No.
Everything you find.
I love everything. The only thing I hate are Brussels sprouts.
Oh, come on. Brussels sprouts with a good roast.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like Brussels sprouts with a good roast and some melted cheese on top.
It doesn't help that you know it comes in a in balls.
In balls, yes.
Right. You know, someone might choke to death one day.
No, you chew on a Brussels sprout. You chew on a Brussels sprout.
You never know. Maybe it's so slippery it just goes down and you, you choke on a Brussels sprout.
I love Brussels sprouts. I think they're one of the best things in the world to eat. They did a survey of 20,000 people in the UK, and you will not believe some of the hated food in the, that came out of the list, right? Top of the list in the UK, oysters.
Oh.
I love my oysters. How can you hate oysters, right? At number two, liver, I can understand.
Love liver.
I cannot stand liver the way it's prepared Asian style. I will have my foie gras, but I can't stand the way it's prepared done Asian style. That's something I can't, I just can't fathom.
So when you go to a chicken rice shop, for example.
I will never have the liver.
Oh, it's so delicious.
I will never have it.
Oh, just also, boiled liver.
Mm. Also on the list of hated food in the UK, tofu, sushi, and marzipan. How can you hate marzipan?
That's why, you know, people say they're boring.
Yeah, you reckon?
The British are boring.
Terribly. All they do is eat fish and chips.
But you know what? The Brits here in Singapore,
they'll eat almost anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that just strange?
I know.
It is so strange, right? Also on that list in the UK, anchovies.
I love anchovies.
How can you hate ikan bilis? Come on, man.
I just had a huge Caesar salad over the weekend at Oscars.
With anchovies. With anchovies. So many people forget the anchovies in a Caesar salad.
Pizza with anchovies as well.
669-1193. Call us right now. What's that one thing you just hate eating?
Real music. Real hits. Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. 91.3.
1 FM.
1 FM 91.3. It's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. So we're talking about foods you don't like.
You absolutely hate. In the UK, the top three are oysters, liver, and anchovies. I can't figure that list out.
I love all three. I feel like blending all three together and just drinking it.
Liver, if it's done Western style, yes. Not if it's done Asian style. Who do we have on the line? Good morning.
Good morning, Munish.
Good morning, Munish.
Good morning, Munish.
Yes.
So, my man, what's that one food you can't stand?
Tauge, especially when it's uncleaned.
Tauge?
What do you mean uncleaned? You mean if it's not peeled?
Yeah. I mean, those were the days, Glenn. I'm sure you had clean tauge when you were young. Those were the days.
Peel tauge. My mom used to ask me to pull the tail out.
Yeah. It's a bloody nightmare. And I don't like.
Really? You don't like it?
I don't mind, but I rather have it cleaned. I don't. Because whenever I order my char kway teow or whatever, uncle don't want tauge. Because the tauge unclean. If it's clean, then I'm okay with it.
Okay, uncleaned tauge.
You know, once you eat at a hawker center, it's unclean already.
Yeah, that's why I tell them the one to put tauge. Unclean, not tauge. Simple.
What do you mean it's unclean?
I mean, you eat the food center, hawker center. I don't think it's very clean.
Yes, you see, this is Glenn. Never eats in a.
No, I'm not saying you're gonna get like a stomach ache or anything like that, but it's not as clean, of course, as if you cook at home.
I mean, if you can avoid it, otherwise, never mind. It's okay with me also. I'd rather have clean tauge than unclean tauge.
Okay. Thank you very much, Munish.
Tauge might look clean, but actually it's not clean, Munish.
Glenn. I see you on Saturday, then I will punch you up. See you on Saturday at the
gangster, Hiland. This guy.
See you on Saturday at the Hiland. Okay, bye.
Oh, bye, Munish.
Bye.
Okay.
So remember, it's also on our Facebook page. We're asking you the food that you can't stand. Cornelius, for example, says he loves oysters and anchovies, but he hates liver. Wow.
Actually, not many people like liver. You know, but like my mom always says, if you eat liver, it'll give you more blood.
I don't know. You, really? Seriously, your mother told you this?
That's what all moms used to tell their kids. What?
I never had that from my mother.
Just to get us to start eating liver, and then it becomes an acquired taste.
Acquired is right.
I love liver.
Ugh. Bear says, any internal organs or cockles. He can't stand them.
I just had seaham the other day.
How can you not like cockles?
Delicious, especially with beer.
I know. And they breed in such a hygienic environment too. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments. What's that one food that you just can't stand?
91.3 1FM.
With Glenn and the Flying Dutchman.
1FM 91.3, it's Glenn and the Flying Dutchman. Let's talk about the World Cup right now. And of course, this is brought to you by McDonald's.
Because McDonald's is the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And selected World Cup matches will be screened live in 22 McDonald's restaurants across Singapore. If you want to find out which are the participating restaurants, all you have to do is go to mcdonalds.com.sg.
As a matter of fact, you know, I am going to make sure that I catch a few matches at McDonald's.
I think it's going to be great fun. I mean, nothing like a great McDonald's meal and a football game.
My friends have already given me a call and said, look, we've got like 15 people. You know, let's go somewhere to catch the World Cup.
McDonald's, come on. That's the best place to go. Anyways, just to let you know, ABC News has come out with an interesting ranking. They call it the power ranking for the Russia World Cup.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the top 10 teams and see if you agree with this. Starting with the team at number one, Brazil.
Of course.
Followed by Spain, Germany, France, Belgium, Argentina, Uruguay, Croatia, Portugal, and at number 10, England.
That's a great list.
I think it's a fantastic list that ABC News has come up with.
Mm.
It is really a list that I think will do this World Cup proud.
All right. You know, let's talk about these 10 teams for this whole week, okay?
Right.
Let's begin with the top two teams. How about that?
Cool. Let's start with Brazil.
Brazil. I think Brazil are going to have a fabulous World Cup this time around. They weren't really prepared the last time, and there was too much pressure because they were the host nation.
That is true.
But this year, I feel they're going to have fun. You know, the players are fit. Neymar is fit again.
Yes.
Some of the players in the Brazil team are playing top-flight football in England. And we've seen them in action. I think if you can perform well in England, you can perform really well on the world stage.
That is true. The last time they won the cup was what? 2002, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It was 2002. Now, the team second ranked in ABC News is Spain. Now, they have got to recover from that horrible 2014 World Cup.
That was horrible, but
they were 2010 world champions.
Yeah.
But they're standing in good stead. They walked away with a 1-1 draw against Germany back in March. They had the 6-1 demolition of Argentina, which is really standing them in good stead.
Yeah.
And they've got Sergio Ramos.
Oh, my favorite Spanish player.
Sergio Ramos. I figure if he could dislocate the arm of one opponent in each game, elbow each goalkeeper, they should make it to the finals.
I can't believe people are still talking about that. That was Mohamed Salah dislocating his own arm.
I think at the end of the day, Ramos is one of those old school footballers. He plays hard, no doubt, but it's the passion he has.
It was an accident anyway.
At the end of the day, it's a strong team that I think is going to go really far.
But you know what? If anyone is going to be really, really tough on his opponents, it is going to be Sergio Ramos, especially in their opening match against Portugal.
You know, if Ramos can take Cristiano Ronaldo out, Portugal's done.
He knows exactly how to defend against Ronaldo.
Exactly.
They're teammates.
Yeah, they're teammates.
I mean, come on. So that match is going to be on the 16th of June at 2 a.m.
All right, so make sure you catch it. Yeah, get to bed early. Wake up in time for that fantastic game.
Brazil will be taking on Switzerland on the 18th of June at 2 a.m. as well.
That's going to be a walkover for Brazil.
Don't forget to order your all-day breakfast from McDonald's, all right, while you watch those fantastic matches.
91.3 1FM. Real music, real hits.
1FM 91.3.
And it's time to have a little bit of fun with
1FM.
Hashtag.
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 Hashtag. Hashtag.
Let me see your war face.
Time for hashtag wars.
All right, producer Sean T, what's today's interesting hashtag?
Today's is my browser history in 5 words.
Ooh, wow.
Some examples include not without a search warrant. Or that's none of your business.
I like it. My browser history in
5 words.
Andre.
Oh my goodness. Andre Huden.
Goodness, Andre
Huden.
Says his wife.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, Andre, Sean.
Self-destruct when I die.
Oh! Good one. Myself, I was thinking, my browser history in 5 words, honey, please don't check it.
Sounds like a guilty man. Huh?
Oh, hell yeah.
This is hard, you know, it's like 4 words, okay, but 5, okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
Remember, that's one.
Yep.
Two.
Yep.
Clear.
Yep.
Histo. Re.
My history.
Five,
you can say my history, right?
Huh?
You can say remember to clear my
history. My history.
History.
Yeah.
Remember to clear
my history.
I know what my history is, you know. I mean, as in my history. As in my history. It's like my legacy. No.
Your browser. No. Yeah, I'd like to see this. I want to see Glenn's browser history now if it's his legacy.
No, I'm talking about my life.
We're talking about your browser history.
Yeah, la.
Right along.
Okay. I'd rather just stick to this because it's a bit more specific. Very remember to clear history.
We're done.
And that would do it for Hashtag Wars.